Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentist Implants and Worms.
Worm is here. Worm. The worm is in the house.
It is worms, but you are a single, like, you're a single worm.
I can duplicate myself very easily.
Oh.
Ask my wife.
Anyway, from Voices of Dentistry, Scottsdale, Arizona, we're here next to El Diablo and El Diablo's dispenser, where we are on bottle number 3 and 4 of delicious Dragon's Nectar.
Yes. Nice job dumping them in without making a big mess.
I had never done that before. However, I got the job pretty done without a mess.
It's nice to see you didn't delegate that.
No, I was considering it, but yeah. No, I didn't do it.
He used his thumb. And I bet he'd be sucking that thumb all afternoon because it's got Fireball on it.
Yeah. COVID thumb. So,
Isn't that what you recommend for parents to get through teething kids?
It's absolutely. Just, yeah. That and
a little Fireball on their binky.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I don't care.
Right?
I don't care.
It's sterile.
Yeah. I mean, all this courtesy of Boyd's Wine and Spirits, Mount Rushmore Road, Rapid City, South Dakota. Growler station, damn fine selection of bourbon.
Yes, sir.
Like he has better high-end bourbons than any store we went to looking the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does. Fireball. You can have the vintage is.
Oh, at least last week.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. All right. We have Addison.
Killeen. Yeah, Killeen.
Killeen. Yeah. Killeen. I'm sorry I butchered your name. I don't mean to. But you, this is a little, this could be a pep talk for you. He's about to go on the stage here in a little bit.
Yep.
He is from Titletown, Nebraska. That's Lincoln.
Right. When's the last title?
We don't want to talk about that.
Oh, well.
What volleyball? Alive? Volleyball. Yeah. We'll talk volleyball, at least 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Shut your ass. Hey, how's your Oklahoma coach doing, by the way?
Which one? They're all doing great.
Yeah, at other places.
You're not talking about the Mule Shoe Weasel, are you? We don't talk about him anymore.
Addison, tell us about you.
I have been coaching with Dental Success Institute. We co-founded Dental Success Network. But in my private practice, life, I used to have 6 practices. You know the multiple practice game. And sold those off 3 years ago. Now I just have a startup. And so just been practicing a little bit with the startup. And I have 2 other dentists in there with me. In my spare time, when I'm not, multiplying myself, I've got a baby at home at 4 weeks.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
When I'm not doing that, I'm writing books. So I've just put out our 5th book last week, and with Dr. Summer Casmal, who's speaking next, and Dr. Jason Snurry. And so we have the Associate Dentist Manual. So how to hire, train, and onboard your associate dentist to make sure they don't ruin your life. That was the title that was denied.
Didn't make it?
No.
It's on the cutting room floor. You're going to have to tell us how to find an associate. I'm having a hard time just finding an associate.
Yeah, it's anymore. It is tough, like finding a good associate too. Anybody.
Right.
You can suck anybody over from an Aspen, but finding good people. One idea that has been executed recently is go to Topgolf and find 8 doctors you want to hire potentially. Go to Topgolf, spend $500, and you would be able to pull 2 of them away from their other positions.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's worked well. A lot of just, getting to know other doctors in town, sucking them over with either financial incentives or just relationship building.
Well, I just talked to a young man who's starting at Oklahoma this coming June.
Muhammad.
Great young man out of Stillwater, and he's basically already come to the conclusion that once he graduates, he's going to have so much debt, he's got no choice but to go to work for Heartland. Yep. And I go, you sure you got to do that? I said, there's a lot of private dentists out there that would sure love to take you on. I said, so I've got his number.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him later.
Nice work.
Absolutely.
I brought him over. I get some credit. I get a finder's bonus. He goes to work for you. I get 50 grand.
50? How about a bottle of Fireball?
Yeah, okay. All right.
So your manual, is it for like the young dentist that he's looking to go out and find an opportunity, or is it for the senior guy looking for the junior guy?
This is for the senior guy.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and because really, you know, what we found is that if you hire an associate and you develop them for even a year or two, let them build up their patient base, but maybe they don't work out or they leave you, that's going to cost you about $250,000 in like lost revenue.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's a kicking the balls.
So I'm going to lay a scenario out and kind of tell me where I go wrong. So I see this all the time. You got the senior guy. He's busy. Wants to take some time off. I need an associate.
Yeah.
He brings the kid in. Maybe he's booked out. I'm going to go real generous and say he's booked out 4 months. Next thing you know, 2 months later, he's not booked out 4 months.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now his revenue just took a big dive on his thing, and he's shitting bricks.
Yep.
And things go south real fast.
So that happens all the time, is that the senior dentist isn't mentally prepared to sacrifice their own production. But they gotta realize if you're systemized and you run like a lean, even moderate to lean practice, you have to be prepared to both take a dive in your own production. It's gonna suck for about 4 months. You're gonna lose money. At about the 4 month mark, you're gonna break even for about 2 to 3 months, and then after that, once they actually start producing, and then you kind of catch back up to your level, then you, every dollar they bring in, you make 50% profit. And so, although it's a really scary thing, and I've coached enough people through this to know to just tell them it's going to be okay. Sometimes you do need to increase your marketing budget a little bit to help generate even that much more. Even if you're super booked, you know,
you got to put your foot on the gas.
Yeah, you still got to generate a ton more business, but it's also should lead you to take a day off a week. You know,
wow.
That's why if you're making 50% on their production, you should be, taking a day off, going to implant courses, whatever.
You know, I think you kind of answered some of the things that I've done over the career. But like anytime, you know, one time I had 10 offices too, you know, and it's like every time you were ready to bring an associate in, whether it was in my own practice or someone else, I always kind of did this. Like if they're going to start 4 months from now, like one of the things that I would do is the 4 months leading up to them starting, I'd work 5 days a week and I'd see as many new patients as I could get and book it out as far as I could do. And then knowing that the day they walked in, I was going to start taking at least one more day off per week, because they wanted a few days of mentorship, but they also want the couple days of their own, you know.
Yep.
and because if you stay on the gas and they come in, like, you booked out 4 months with another dentist, 10 days later, and everyone's got holes. And then the senior doc is looking at the holes going, well, no, I'm going to start. And, you know, some of them, they start taking the good production, and then and I think gone are the days of the senior dentist only doing the stuff and making the young dentist do the crap. Like, they're going to do the fillings, the Medicaid, and stuff like that. Like, you do that, and that's why 85% of them failed.
Yep, absolutely. You know, they want like, mentorship. They want CE.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, like you said, that they are crushed in debt.
Crushed.
I saw the latest numbers out of NYU, which is, granted, you know, big city dental school. In 4 years, there's going to be, you'll graduate with $700,000 in debt. 700 with just a degree, and, you know, sorry to tell you, a degree doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
So,
at what point does it become unprofitable or unsustainable? I mean, and that's a fair question, because I served on the admission committee for years at Oklahoma, and I'm having a hard time convincing really bright, you know, men and women to go into dentistry, and it breaks my heart, because I love dentistry, but it's getting to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I mean, that debt is crushing. And then, you know, you read about the burnout rate, you know, 5 years into it, there's some regret with some of the new graduates. I hate to read that.
Yeah.
You know?
It is crazy. I don't know what the cross point would be where becomes unsustainable, but you got to think that 700 is pretty darn close.
We're getting close to it, right?
Yeah. So that's definitely concerning.
So if you're a busy guy now, let's just say I'm looking for an associate, how much, and with the help of your book, though, do I start a year before it's time to bring the associate on? I mean, what's a good runway to lead up to be ready to bring that guy on board?
About 6 to 8 months.
Six to eight months.
You got to make sure all of your, you know, A, your practice needs to be systemized, because if you have a great associate but you stick him into a crappy system, you're going to end up with a crappy associate, and they're going to leave you pretty quick, and then all the effort you've done up to that point is worthless.
Lost.
So you need to become systemized.
You need to get
all of your onboarding systems ready to go. They're, like, my talk today is all about how, you know, we have all the, when we onboard other employees, we have these systems. Like, here's your checklist of the things you got to know to do your job. I'm going to check in with you at the 1 month, 2 month, 3 month point. But an associate is so much different. They need so much more coaching, more stringent systems. You need to audit their work. I mean, an associate might as well stick a paperclip in a tooth sometimes, and you wouldn't know it because you're just not auditing their stuff. And so, you know,
is that bad?
Well, they taught us that in Nebraska and Iowa, but I don't know. Maybe other dental schools don't teach that. If we don't coach them the right way, we're going to end up in a crappy situation, and it's going to cost us like $250,000. And I think $250,000 is on the low end. I was reading a book this morning to say that it actually says about 400% of their annual income might be for a highly paid executive or doctor position. So, and because we also see when you lose an associate, you're going to probably lose an assistant or a hygienist too. And so it just throws your office into a whirlwind.
Well, depending on your physical plant, sometimes you're adding a couple of rooms, and that blows that 250 number right out the water, because I've watched it here twice this year.
Yeah, exactly. So you build out the practice to be more capable, and, you know, that's the other thing is, if you're going to prepare, you know, 6-8 months ahead of time, if you're in a four-op practice, it's going to be really hard to make an associate work without expanding
your hours.
You
can't pencil that out.
Yeah. If you have six ops, I have six ops in my practice, and I run three hygiene and three doctor ops every day, and we run two doctors out of those three operatories. So each of us have our primary room, and we share the middle room for our overflow and low production things. But I'm also not willing to do extended hours. If you're willing to do extended hours, oh, man, you could do so much. Even on four ops, that's tough. Five ops would be great for extended hours. Six, seven, I mean, the sky's the limit. If you want to work extra hours and, you know, not have any life, that's doable with two or maybe even three doctors.
With two doctors, you can't pencil that out because you don't have enough staff hours to cover both of them. And now you've got your overhead just grew because you got to have an extra assistant or two to cover the number of hours that you need extra.
Exactly. Then you really have to almost multiply your staff and have two different shifts.
Yeah. Right.
And so if you can't really just expand by 10 or 20% of hours.
No, it's all
you
or
have
nothing.
To go like way like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and add some Saturday hours. And yeah.
Right. Really, the only extended way you can get, like, there's a max because, like, you know, a lot of dental associates or a lot of people in dentistry are used to that 32-hour work week. And yep. I think the max you're going to get is to the 40. You can probably, through time, build your team to a 40-hour-a-week team, but no more.
No.
Yeah, you know, so, like it's a tough gig.
We quit working Fridays. You start paying attention to your numbers, and you look at your Friday numbers. There were so many Fridays that we looked at, we either broke even or we even lost money. And nobody wants to come to work on Friday. And it sucks. The patients don't want to be there, especially if the weather's nice. The staff is all burned out. But, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, and I was wondering if this trend was beginning. I worked, Moody and I have been out of school for 25 years now. The first half of my career, I was a solo guy in there by myself, and I felt like I was dying on the vine. I just felt lonely. I didn't know if other dentists felt like this, but I'm like, what's wrong with me? And then on the second half of my career, I partnered up with one of my very good friends from school, and we share together. We share equipment. We share staff. We share time. Like, I'm here because he's there, and he loves to golf, and when he golfs, I'm there.
Yep.
And we can piss and moan to each other all day long because there's no one else you can talk to about dentist problems outside of another dentist. Nobody else gets it. And I'm just wondering how, if I tell people all the time, partner up with somebody and share expenses. you know?
Well, and that's exactly. And that's kind of, you know, a lot of associateships begin as like, hey, in a couple years, I'm going to want to partner up. This is our dating period.
Right.
And so I'm going to bring you on. You know, maybe we'll expand the practice a little bit. I'll get ready for you. You know, you could potentially broach the subject of how do we value the business and partnership at the beginning, but that's kind of talking about your wedding day on the first date, which exactly. is pretty dang scary. So, you know, you could say, well, you know, when the time comes after a year, we can talk ownership or partnership. But it is nice. Like you say, you can't leave the office unattended because then you're paying staff or your staff is pissed because you're taking too much vacation. So the associateship is really, and the beginning of the book addresses this, is if you're nearing burnout and you're seeing emergency patients over lunch or at the end of the day, you're working your ass off. It's just really stressful to be in a single doctor office where you are the only leader of a group of people that is, you know, sometimes tough to manage. And so, yeah, this is the answer to surrounding yourself with other producers so that the stress is not on you.
Right.
You know, the growth trajectory is really to add an associate. You cut your clinical days down a little bit. That way you actually get to the point where you want to do dentistry again. You know, maybe you're only doing dentistry then 3 days a week. But then you take maybe a CEO day and you actually work on team development or CE or, you know, maybe in those 3 days a week you're just doing the more lucrative procedures that you choose to do because you enjoy doing them.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now that's worth your time listening to this podcast. Do not go on vacation and leave your practice financials out for people to look at. And I kid you not when I say I went on a cruise with my wife, and when I came back, I was confronted by an assistant and a hygienist, and they said, we went through all your financials, and you make a lot of money. You make a lot more money than we do. And they tried to hold my feet to the fire, and it was all I could do not to fire them. Because I had no right to be doing that. But at the same time, I could not, and I was mad at myself for not putting those financials up in a safe place. But I thought, you know what? I said, if you want to assume the note on this place, you can have my salary. And I'll do your job and go home every night and not sweat things out. But I was so pissed that they did that.
And mad at yourself because you left the shit out.
Yep, it was my own damn fault.
All right, listen, there's a doc that works for us, one of our mentors, had left the payroll screen open on the front desk because he did it after hours. Yeah. And he left it open. Everyone came in the morning and found out, and he was literally like confronted, you know, like almost with mutiny, you know, because of where the pay discrepancies were and there's some other irregular things, and like they'll always not understand the risk. You know, like the risk reward. Like if you took out a $2 million loan, like you deserve to get that because that's the deal. But like they don't. Yeah. But that's not their truth.
They don't see the $400,000 you put into school before
Correct.
That, or the
right.
$1 million note you have on the practice. And yeah, they don't. They just see that like, wow, you're making like four times more than I make in a year, or however many more times.
When did you graduate?
2011. Yeah.
From
You've
Nebraska?
Done a lot.
From Nebraska.
You've done a lot.
So, 11. Is that before? Wiley Wunderchek. Do you know Wiley?
Name sounds familiar.
I think Wiley's a...
Hoffman?
Derek Hoffman.
Oh, yep. I
bought,
know that name.
Bought Roger Plooster's office.
Yep. Rogers, yep.
Yeah, so, yeah. So Roger's my mentor.
Oh, yeah.
He's from my hometown.
Yeah.
So, we know Derek. Yeah, that's kind of that time frame in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I've played paintball at it. Plooster, he's got some farmland outside of Lincoln.
Yeah, and, out of Branched Oak.
Yeah, and yeah. I've when I was a teenager, we went out and played paintball at it. His like cabin out there.
So. Awesome. Yeah, long time. I mean, I've known him all my life. He was my dad's high school class. So I remember when I was getting ready to go to dental school, like he came in there and he was like, "What are you gonna tell him?" When I was at the interview, and I'm just like, "Yeah, this and that." And he goes, "Nope, that's not what they want to hear. Like, you don't even tell them this." Well.
What did you say to him? Because you got in, and I still don't know how.
I'll tell you how I got in. Is when I interviewed late at Oklahoma, and it was late. No, it was early November, and you know all that, you know, and it was and the two guys that interviewed me plus Witsit.
Oh yeah,
the occlusion guy.
Occlusion guy, yeah.
So the two part timers, they only wanted to know about the game on Friday after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yeah, it was big AD. Yeah. Like they just wanted to know, like, you know, like, hey, what, you know, what is this? You know, like, you know, at the, you know, the time, like, I left undergrad at Nebraska in 93, having just lost the national title to Florida State on the missed field goal. And while I was at Oklahoma, we won three of the 4 years, 94 through 97.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a great time to be down there. He was at my house on the one loss we took on Scott Frost's first year when I remember when we lost to Arizona State. And I.
You also lost a remote, didn't you?
I threw the remote into the TV because I was so pissed.
Frosty the showman.
I tell you, well, my most memorable OU game would have been the Big 12 championship game held at Arrowhead's, or, you know, Kansas City Chiefs Stadium, probably like 06.
Okay.
It was cold as a bugger. We were standing on ice. And, yeah, but there's a Chiefs game there on Sunday night against the Bills.
Nice.
Might not be as cold.
Right.
Who knows? Are you guys Chiefs fans?
Oh, I have to be, sort of.
Yeah, no. Steelers. It was a tough week last week.
Hey, let me tell you another OU Nebraska story since we're talking. Out of Napa, we're in the swimming pool. There's a guy, he comes up, pretty tall guy, nice looking man. He's like, you guys OU fans, we've all got our Sooner hats on. We're like, yeah, what about you? And he goes, nah, but I'm from Norman. And I'm like, really? I go, you kind of look familiar. He goes, yeah, I was quarterback at Wake Forest. And I go, and Nebraska, right? Are you Zach Taylor? And he goes, yeah. And then here comes his beautiful bride over. So we met Zach. And I went in and had to go to the potty. So on the potty, I Googled him. And I found out he couldn't beat OU. So later that night, you remember this? This was at the Maritime.
We're playing a heated game of shuffleboard.
I said, hey, so I'm on Zach's side, and I said, hey, man, I figured out you've never beaten Oklahoma, and it's not going to start right now. and me and Gretchen, we whip their ass at shuffleboard.
Such bullshit. Such bullshit.
But we root for that boy every week when he's in Cincinnati.
God. I text him every week after the game. So, super good. You're going to have to lecture here pretty soon. Appreciate you stopping in. One last question. How'd you and Mark get hooked up together?
So ADEC, you know, gold equipment chair. So they flew both of us up there a while back, and there was about 30 people on a Friday thing. And basically they flew us up, put us in a hotel, told us how great the chairs
Allison
were.
Hotel?
It was a fancy. It was something fancy.
Up in Oregon?
Yeah. And then they took us to a winery afterwards. And basically, like all good things, you get have a few drinks and – your lifelong friends, so
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yo, that's actually a great experience up there. The family that owns ADEC owns the Allison Hotel.
Yep.
And they put you up there, and they wine taste you. It's a beautiful part of the country.
Oh my gosh,
the Willamette Valley is just like,
And I mean, their whole facility—you would never know they actually manufacture stuff because it's just pristine and beautiful. And super nice people, great chairs. I mean, I own a few, but they're in storage right now. they're tough as nails.
Right.
But
right,
they
right.
are, they charge for it.
Yeah, they do. They do. We look forward to listening to you throw some knowledge bombs out there today. Appreciate it. If anybody wants to get started with you guys and working through the finances, just go to Dental Success Network or
DentalSuccessNetwork.com, and then get in touch with me, and all my books are on for sale on Amazon and stuff too.
So, yeah, nice. Beautiful. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Thanks for putting up with our bullshit, and thanks for being voices and willing to speak for us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so from Dennis Implants and Worms in the Hilton on Scottsdale Road in sunny Arizona, it's not cold like Oklahoma, we will catch you on the next episode. Cheers.
Peace out.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.